Ghosts, cryptids, murder, conspiracies, beer, what, the ale.
Hello, friends.
Hello, hello.
Welcome back to What the Ale. I'm Alana Ray.
And I'm Mama J.
And welcome to our New Year's flight. Happy 2025, all the things.
Happy New Year's, y'all.
Oh my goodness. Do you have New Year's plans? Because we are recording this pre-New Year's, I guess, but.
Not really. My kid's home from college, so I think we're just going to hang out and probably watch Squid Games and, like, you know, like, I don't know, just hang out and eat food probably. And my little one, my 16-year-old's going to go to a party or a sleepover with a friend. So it's going to be very low key this year, which is kind of nice because the holidays are always crazy and busy and a lot of good times, but also draining energy. So, like, I'm kind of looking forward to not doing much.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, I love a chill New Year's. Normally, I don't do so. I get it. But this year, I'm actually, some of my friends are hosting a New Year's party the Colombian way. I guess in Colombia, there's all sorts of fun traditions, like you have to wear yellow underwear because it means that you're going to have a prosperous New Year. Luckily, I did have yellow underwear, so I will be good.
Wow, that's good.
But
And you have to, like, eat grapes and stuff.
Yeah, you have to eat like the 12 grapes at midnight, which are 12 wishes. And then you have to, like, there's something else. You're supposed to, like, do some, like, you're supposed to carry money or lentils in your pocket to symbolize, like, prosperity and wealth. So yeah, there's like weird things, but I'm excited.
See, my grandma just made us eat black eyed peas. Like, she would say, you have to, for luck in the new year, you had to eat a spoon. You know, she was like, if you don't like them, you don't have to have a whole plate, but you got to have a spoonful of black eyed peas. And so that was the only thing that my family did that had food involved. So,
Yeah.
but it was supposed to be lucky.
Yeah. I don't know. But anyway, so I'm excited. My plan is to bring a bottle of Prosecco and vibe. I only know like three people that are going, so it's gonna be an adventure.
We're gonna meet some new friends. That'll be fun.
Yeah, no, I'm excited. Anyway, are you drinking anything?
Yeah, I'm just having a Kona Big Wave. What
Nice.
about you?
I'm having my tried and true Whirlpool because I like them.
Good.
But yeah, cool.
Any what the ale things going on?
What the ale things? Let's see. Wow, I had a big brain fart. I can say my what the ale is that my flight back to California was delayed by like an hour, but it honestly made my layover shorter. So can't complain. I didn't have any risk of like missing my flight. So outside of just like sitting in the airport.
Your flight back to Boston.
Yes. Fly back to Boston, not my flight to California, for those who are not caught up. But yeah, anyway, I am back and I took the train. I literally took the last train of the evening and made it. So
Okay, well, that's good.
Because the Ubers were like $65. I don't know what was going on last night, but I was like, I'm just gonna take the train.
Yeah, I feel like holiday season, they can always like bump up the rates. So,
yeah, there must have been like a lot of flights coming in or something. I'm not really sure. But anyway, that's my story. What about you, Eddie? What the elements?
Well, mine is just that a man hit my kid's car in a parking lot yesterday, and an older guy. And then when I called him, you know, after work to talk about it, he seems to have no recollection of it. And I don't think he's lying. I think he has memory issues because he was very confused and he thought he wasn't at that restaurant that day. And he was like, I don't know what you're talking about. I didn't meet your daughters. You know, he was like, but it really, like, the tone of his voice was like, he really didn't understand or didn't remember. And so now I'm navigating insurance companies who are like, okay, we have to figure this out because he says it didn't happen. You have three witnesses that say it did. And so, yeah, I'm navigating that because he just seems very confused. So I'm hoping there is a wife or a son or daughter or somebody that looks after him that can verify if he has memory issues or could verify that he was at that restaurant or something. And, you know, but now I have to go and deal with like trying to get surveillance footage to prove that that happened. And it's just a pain in my ass. So I hate when accidents happen. I do feel really bad for this guy because I don't think he's just trying to get out of it. I think he really doesn't remember. Yeah, so it's just a bummer and it's a lot of stress and I hate dealing with insurance companies and all that. So it's a pain in my ass. So that's my what the deal.
Oh, that's brutal. I guess, that's brutal. I hope it all works out. I mean, all of it just is terrible. I hate all of the insurance stuff. Like, I have accepted my car is just going to be my car that's going to get beat up on because it totally got hit by a car the other day while I was parked. So, I also get it. Not a good time.
Yeah, it's just a hassle, you know, and but you know the insurance company says because it was parked and you know we the car wasn't moving, you know, that it'll be no fault on our end, so like my rates won't go up or anything, but it's just can I get his insurance company to pay it or do I have to pay the $500 de deductible on my end? So I'm hoping I can save that money because that would suck. So
That would absolutely suck. Oh, well,
yeah.
Godspeed. I hope it goes the way it should go.
Yeah.
Dang. Okay. Well, I guess should we get into our flight?
Yeah. And our flight this month is a little bit more lighthearted and cute. So,
That's good because I got some dark as fuck stories coming up, and we're gonna need lighthearted, I think.
okay. Well, do you want to introduce or you want me to introduce?
Oh, I thought you were gonna introduce.
Okay. Yeah, I was gonna say, so we decided to do some kind of ghosty animals that have been hanging around. And we just thought that was fun because I feel like a lot of people have seen or experienced a ghostly presence from an animal. A lot of times it's a pet that is gone. But paranormal researcher Joshua Warren ended up classifying these into two categories and then like kind of two subset categories. So he says there's in terms of ghost animals, there's entity ghost and imprint ghost. And then for ghostly animals, there's elemental ghost and harbinger ghost. So the way that he defines them is an entity ghost would be like a self-aware apparition of an animal. So that would be the example of like if you lost a pet and then, you know, you felt like the pet was still around or it like, you know, nudges your leg or you hear it scratching at the door, that kind of thing. So that would be an entity ghost animal. And then an imprint ghost animal would be like a kind of animal. It's almost like when you see a vision where it's like a movie playing, but like the ghost is not interacting with whoever's currently there. So the example that they gave for that is like when you hear of like a coach that's being carried by horses, you know, or you know, a horse-drawn carriage kind of a thing. You know, it's like those horses are from another time and they're not aware that they're in a different period, but they're just doing what they did before. So that would be an imprint ghost animal.
Okay, so like a residual haunting kind of.
Yeah. And then an elemental ghostly animal. So there's ghost animals and ghostly animals. So an elemental ghostly animal would be something that's never actually occupied a physical body. So the most common, I think, example of that would be a hellhound. So they often resemble animals that we know, but they might have slight physical differences. So like, you know, red eyes, glowing eyes, they might be bigger than a normal dog would be, or that kind of thing. So they appear a little bit different. They're not an animal that is actually physically present on in this realm of Earth. You know, but yeah, but people see these kinds of animals. And then the harbinger ghostly animals are the ones that they are like animals that have been in the real world, so like a dog or something like that. But they do seem to have some paranormal energy that's very charged, and they tend to be a messenger. Oftentimes, they foretell a future of death. And so, it's not always of death. Sometimes it's a warning about other things, but oftentimes these are seen as like animals that predict death. So, those are the four different types of ghosty animals that are around. And so, we're going to cover a little bit of, all of them. So that'll be cool. So do you want to start us off with our first animal?
So my first animal brings us to Eureka Springs, Arkansas, which is, did we go there?
I feel like we did like drove through kind of vibe, but yeah.
We were in Arkansas. That's true. But I feel like we went there.
Yeah, I think we were in that area.
But anyway, in Eureka Springs, there is a ghostly cat. He is considered one of the most famous of the ghostly cats, I guess. And he is a orange tabby named Morris. He was an honorary guest greeter at the hotel lobby of the Crescent Hotel, which I think is precious.
I think that's adorable that he had like a job job as greeter.
Well, I was gonna say, there's a bookstore here called Paper Cuts, and there's a dog at Paper Cuts named Sammy, and she's kind of like the unofficial greeter of Paper Cuts. Like she'll come and check on you if she's there. So I love that. I love an animal with a job. But after Morris, did his work and had passed away, the staff buried him in the hotel's garden. But people still report Morris greeting guests from his favorite chair in the lobby, or sometimes he'll stroll through the rose garden where he's buried.
Very nice.
And I will say, I feel like cats are really popular across like hotels and just places across the country. A lot of people report seeing cats, so maybe they're just spiritual creatures. But I think
Yeah.
that's cool.
Yeah. So, I'm going to take us to a place that we have mentioned before and we have been to, the Stanley Hotel, because the Stanley Hotel does have a pet cemetery there. And so, even though the Stanley Hotel was the inspiration for the book and movies later, The Shining, there is a pet cemetery, which is another Stephen King novel.
I think
So,
that
but there are.
was that intentional? Like, was it there after Stephen King wrote the book, or was it
You know,
like?
I didn't look up the order of that, so I have no idea if they're related at all or if he got an idea from it or not. But there are two different animals that are often seen at the Stanley that, were animals that lived on the property and were buried in the pet cemetery. So, Cassie was the golden retriever, and they say that she was like fond of searching for treats and getting people's newspapers for them. And so she is seen around doing those things. And there was also a white cat named Comanche.
Okay.
And she just kind of wanders the halls and goes in and out of the guest rooms and stuff like that. So people see both of them around. They appear to be friendly and like, they don't really cause too much trouble. But they did end up building like a wedding pavilion on top of the original graves. And so some people say, well, that's why they're around because they're like, hey, why are you messing with our graves?
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So, anyways, but they're not troublesome. They just happen to be around. So, those are two that are often seen at the Stanley.
That's funny. I mean, I didn't even know there was a pet cemetery at the Stanley at some point.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Very cool. Well, they seem friendly, at least.
Yeah.
I'm going to take us into an actual, or I guess another pet cemetery, which is in San Francisco. Oh my gosh, in San Francisco. For those of you who like might not know or whatever, obviously cemeteries can seem like very solemn places, but I think like a cemetery full of like animals can be really sad, especially for people if the like that was their companion and that type of thing. So The San Francisco Presidio Park Pet Cemetery is in a shadier, oh my Lord, I can't talk today, in a shadier section beneath the freeway, which was constructed long after the cemetery kind of was already there. But it kind of has like a melancholic atmosphere, like I said, under a freeway. Obviously, San Francisco, there's lots of fog that just makes it seem a little creepy in there. But the cemetery dates back to the 1950s and is the resting place for those for pets of those stationed at the Presidio, which was a former military base in San Francisco Bay. And there are hundreds of pets laid to rest in the half-acre plot, ranging from parakeets to rabbits to lizards. And people speculate that even earlier, the cemetery was used for cavalry horses and dogs that served in World War II, which is so sad.
Yeah.
And a lot of the ghost sightings actually do come from the World War II era. There are ghostly men who are dressed in uniform roaming around the cemetery. Oftentimes, they do see these uniformed folks accompanied by a four-legged friend, and people do experience a lot of cold spots. So there is definitely something happening in the pet cemetery, which is interesting.
Okay.
I wonder why.
Yeah, isn't the Presidio, isn't that where the Dr. Seuss Muse, or not Dr. Seuss, the Walt Disney Museum is?
It's down there, close to like the Golden Gate Bridge. Like if you're gonna walk over it, it's
Yeah.
that kind of area.
Yeah. Yeah, we went there 1 year for Mother's Day ages ago, and it was really fun because I'm a Disney fan.
I love that museum. Like it's so fun. Like
Yeah. All right. Well, I'm going to take us to a really sad story about the old Los Angeles Zoo, which was also known as the Griffith Park Zoo. Now, it's really sad because the enclosures there were very small and not really suitable for the animals that they had. And the conditions were just kind of terrible. So the zoo did end up closing after some complaints, and I'll describe some of those. But there was also an incident where a 900-pound polar bear, whose name was Ivan the Terrible,
Oh my gosh.
he was called that because he had a bad temper, but people say he had a bad temper because of the really bad conditions. But he killed two of the workers, or two of the other bears there, because he was fighting with them over his mate.
My
And
God.
then he ended up also later at a different time, he ended up mauling his mate, and they had been together for 11 years. So it just, there was some violence between the polar bears, but there, I mean, the neglect at the zoo was horrible, and like they were underfed, and like just the enclosures were very small and not kept up very well.
Yeah.
So people wrote letters to get the zoo closed. One woman said that she had seen at least 100 canaries die during a recent heat wave. There was a letter saying that a badger had bloody paws while trying to like dig out of a wooden enclosure. And so just like they ended up closing the zoo. All the animals were moved somewhere else. But people say that the zoo has a lot of paranormal energy, and that you can hear strange animal noises. You can hear or see cages opening and closing, and then obviously you can hear the moaning of distressed and injured animals. And so it's just like nobody really sees anything, but you hear all of these noises. And then occasionally there have been some shadow figures that have been captured on cameras. So different animals. And so it's just a really sad story because there was so much mistreatment and just poor conditions. But it seems like the animals there are not resting well because of the life that they had.
That's really sad. I mean, I think like a lot of zoos back in the day were not up to scruff with like the needs of some of the bigger animals and things. So it is really sad that the animals were mistreated and like stuff, but it would make sense that there's an energy there, I guess. So
Yeah. All right.
well, I'm going to get us into something quite interesting. I think I've heard this story a few times. I think it's kind of a silly tale, but apparently Francis Bacon was a part of a meat preservation experiment that led to his death.
Yeah.
And there is a haunted animal associated with this story.
And
So
I just think it's funny that his name is Bacon. That's all I'm gonna say.
it's a great name. I mean, listen, good for Francis
It's a
Bacon.
great name considering what he was doing for work.
Yeah, exactly. So apparently, according to a historian named John Aubrey, Bacon was traveling, and he had the idea of using snow to preserve meat, which honestly is kind of smart. I mean, I think he was around in like the 1600s, so that's pretty smart. And he found the concept really intriguing and was like, I need to do this. So he bought the first chicken he could find. And so he stuffed the chicken with snow. And then he pretty much was immediately ill with a severe case of pneumonia. And then a few days later, he died of suffocation from the buildup of mucus in his chest. So,
Yeah, that
I
does not
mean,
sound like a fun way to go.
it does not. And like, was the pneumonia caused from him running around in the snow, or was it a chicken? We'll never know, I guess. But,
Yeah.
according to Aubrey, there were some weird events that happened after. So, surprisingly, it was not Francis Bacon's ghost that returned and haunted the site of the experiment and of, where he died. It was
Yeah.
a plucked chicken.
Yeah.
I guess, people say it's because it died in vain. I don't know. I think it's hilarious that it's like not a full chicken, like it is a chicken that is half plucked. I don't know. It's quite silly.
Yeah.
She's seen better days.
Yeah, I've definitely seen better days.
But the chicken is known as the Highgate Chicken Ghost, and it is said to run in circles around London's Pond Square when anyone gets near. So, if you are in London and around Pond Square, look out for a weird looking chicken.
Yeah, that's funny. Okay. I'm gonna bring us to Nashville, and I actually really, I mean, the story is sad, but I also like it. So this is a lovely little dog that was a boxer, and his name was Preston. And he, the story goes that he was out on Halloween night, and he was, going around trick or treating with the child that he was the was his owner or whatever, but he was kind of like watching out for the group that they were trick-or-treating with. And one of the boys like spilled his candy when he was crossing the street, and so Preston saw that a car was coming, and he like pushed the boy out of the way, so he saved the boy from getting hit by a car. And Preston did make contact with the car, and he kind of was like, yeah, I mean, because he was hit by the car, so he was kind of like launched into the yard that was nearby. But when the onlookers went to check on him, he wasn't there. And he's never been seen again in his physical form. But around that same area to this day, people sometimes say that they can feel his little nose nudging them along, and encouraging them to stay on the sidewalks and get away from the road. So it seems like he's still looking after the trick-or-treaters after all of these years, and he's just trying to keep all the kids safe. And I think that is really beautiful and sweet, even though I'm really sad he had to go. So he definitely seems like a good one and watching out for them, and I think it's very sweet.
We don't deserve dogs, Mom.
I
Like,
know. They're
you
so
talk
good.
about how so good dogs are. I want
Yeah.
a dog so bad.
Yeah.
I just want a little guy that's gonna haunt
Yeah.
me, guys. Anyway, that's precious. Well, good for him.
Yeah.
We're gonna get into a resident of another hotel. So this is in Holly, Michigan. Her name is Leona, and she is a rat terrier.
Yeah.
So going way back to 1989, the very famous parapsychologist Norman, is it Gautier or Gauthier? Gouthier,
I
go
don't know. Gautier. I don't know.
okay.
I'm gonna go French. Gautier.
Okay. Wonderful. I'm bad with names, friends. He visited this hotel, and apparently it is quite haunted. And he declared it a spot that was loaded with spirits. And apparently, this has just become a place where people will just do investigations, both actual investigators and just people who are into it. People smell cigar smoke and floral perfume. They also see ghost girls holding meat cleavers, which sounds very shining, not liking that. Also hearing things like disembodied voices. It is a very haunted hotspot. So, outside of some of the scarier hauntings, there is, of course, Leona, who is the ghostly rat terrier. Guests report hearing her running down the halls or feeling her brush up against their legs. In the morning, the chefs report that they hear her bark for her breakfast sometimes. And,
Oh.
she is just believed to be the spirit of the hotel's former owner. So, or the spirit of the dog of the hotel's former owner. So, just doing her thing, having a time. But that's really cute that she barks for her breakfast. I love that.
Yeah, that's very sweet. Okay, I have another one of a dog that was a kind of rescue dog, but his owner wasn't the brightest person. So this is the story of the Blue Ghost dog from Port Tobacco, Maryland. And Charles Thomas Sims was the owner of the dog, and this was something that happened back in the 1700s at some point. But he had just he was gold mining and he found a ton of gold. But of course, he went out and drank too much and started bragging about the gold that he had found, which
Oh,
is not a smart thing to do.
I feel like that people always
So,
do that.
yeah, I'm like, if you come into money, don't tell anybody. Like, tell like your one closest person and find yourself a financial planner, but do not tell people. And, so, of course, there was a group of guys that overheard him bragging about his gold. So they attacked him to rob him of his gold. And his dog, who was a blue tick coonhound, which I had to look that up because I didn't know what that was. They're really beautiful dogs. They're like hunting dogs.
Oh.
And it said that the dog kind of battled with him and, fought really hard to protect his owner.
Oh.
And or his best friend, and but it was sadly they both died. They fell to their deaths on some rocks, and so the robbers, they did get away with some gold, and then they buried some of the treasure. But it said that when they returned to get that buried treasure, that this large blue tick coonhound chased them off, and they eventually fell ill and they all died. So they didn't get to come back and get all of the riches that they were hoping for. But they say that the dog is still there, like protecting his master's gold and like making sure that the thieves don't come back or cause any more trouble. And so, yeah, so that's a story of another heroic dog that was trying to protect his person, even though his person should have been smarter about what he was saying in public.
Yeah, I mean that's also very cute though. I
Yeah.
love that the dog is protecting the gold. I
Yeah.
wish it, I hope it has a more peaceful afterlife than that though.
Yeah.
More than just that. Well, we're gonna talk about something a little scary now, but in Valley Crucis, North Carolina, there is a demon dog. And people say that this dog appears really late at night to trespassers who overstay their welcome in the local cemetery. And it will chase them and even race after their cars. So don't mess around with demon dogs. I would not enjoy that. And there's not much else.
Yeah, but it does sound like maybe he's being protective. Like if he's like, you're overstaying your welcome, people that maybe are at cemeteries late at night, maybe you're up to no good. So maybe his intentions are good. Maybe he's misunderstood.
This is true.
Okay. I have a story about a black dog of Hanging Hills, Connecticut. Now, this is another, ghosty dog that might have some sinister vibes. So, the local legend says that if you keep running into this dog, it's a death omen. And so they have a little saying that is like, if a man shall meet the black dog once, it shall be for joy. If twice, it shall be for sorrow. And if a third time, he shall die.
Oh gosh. Okay.
So this is one of those like harbinger dogs that, like, if you see him, you have to be careful because he might be warning you of something, or he might be causing or predicting your death. So that is a little bit spooky and scary, but a little more sinister than the other ones that we've mentioned so far. So the black dog of Hanging Hills, Connecticut.
Well, that is not ideal. I would not like that. I've never been to Hanging Hills, Connecticut, so maybe I'll just stay away. Okay. Well, this is one that might be familiar to you folks. We did mention this during our White House ghosts. But for those of you who don't remember, there is a demon cat in the White House. So dating back to the mid-1800s, cats were brought into the basement tunnels of the Capitol building to kill rats and mice. And some people, say, or the legend states that the demon cat is one of the cats that never left. And so the cat's home is supposedly the basement crypt of the Capitol building, which was also intended as a burial chamber for George Washington. I don't think he's buried there, though. And according to the legend, the cat is often seen in the White House before presidential elections and tragedies in Washington, D.C. People have spotted, or security guards have reported seeing it before the assassinations of both JFK and Abraham Lincoln. Some say it's a black or a tabby cat, and they say it's the size of an average house cat. Like it's nothing, scary at first, but then they say it swells to the size of a giant tiger or an elephant. Some say it's like 10 to 10, 10 by 10
Oh my
feet.
gosh, that's huge.
And I guess it is like doing more of the warning thing, or like when you get closer to it. And people say that the cat would either explode or pounce at the witnesses before disappearing. So yeah, not ideal. And apparently, in the 1890s, the cat is apparently, or it apparently inexplicably vanished when some Capitol Hill guards fired their gun at it. And I guess one of the guards died after a heart, or oh my gosh, died of a heart attack after seeing it. So the cat is definitely a harbinger of some sort. But it
Well,
doesn't.
but maybe don't shoot at the cat and you don't have a heart attack. Maybe let it live its little ghostly life and leave it alone.
Yeah, I mean, I get like the Secret Service or whatever has to be protective, but you don't have to kill a cat. Like, that's stupid. Yep.
And the cat's already dead, so I
Well,
don't think your gun's gonna work, but
but they don't know that. They might think it's just a normal cat, but like, why would you shoot a cat? Something's wrong with you if you're shooting a cat.
I agree with that 100%. All right. Well, I came across an article, and this was from the Eagle 101 radio station, and it was recently because it was only a year ago in 2023. So, this is about the Mark Twain National Forest, and it is believed that this area is or has some hellhounds present, maybe. And there were three different sightings. So the first one was just a hiker during the daylight hours, and he came into a meadow and he saw a very large black dog-like creature. But he said it wasn't a dog, it was dog-like. And so that was the first sighting that they thought was a hellhound. And then another person was at the park and was it was at night. He was trying to get pictures of the night sky, and he heard like splashing in some water, so he went over to where the lake was, But the lake was covered with ice. So, he was like, what would have made a splashing sound if the lake is frozen over? And so then he heard like laughing and he felt like he was being watched. And then he says that suddenly out of the lake, like from the ice, this large wolf-like creature like came flying out from under the ice and then fled into the woods. And
No.
then the guy ran to his car and he didn't see him again. But that would be scary, like to see an animal like shoot out from under the ice of a lake,
That's terrifying. That is nightmare fuel. I'm not going outside at night type of
Yeah, and I
energy.
guess the guy had a knife, so I don't know, maybe the wolf-like creature was like running because he saw the knife or something. I don't know, but yeah, that would be really creepy to see any animal, anything shoot out from under the ice of a frozen lake.
Yeah.
And then there was a Reddit user that said that they were staying like in a cabin and doing some hunting, and they set up deer blinds, which I don't hunt, so I didn't know what that was. So I had to look it up, and it's just like the little camouflage tents that hunters sit in while they're peeking out to see if there are any deer passing. Yeah, I didn't know what it was though, because I don't. That's not my thing. But they heard some like movement in the woods and some like bumping or crashing into their cabin like in the middle of the night. And then in the morning they went out and they were inside of the deer blind, getting ready to hunt, and they heard some rustling. And when they looked out, they said that there was like this huge beast that was like about 25 feet away, but it was like standing upright. And they said it wasn't human, but that it was like more than 7 feet tall and that it had reddish hair. And so they're classifying all of these as like hellhounds, but this beast did kind of chase them, and he was running back into the cabin, and then he turned to fire, a shot at the beast because they were hunters, so they had guns. And then he could hear the trees being trampled. And then his dad ended up picking him up on a four-wheeler and getting him back to the cabin. So that's how he got away from the creature. But this was the one time that the creature was actually in pursuit of people in that area.
That sounds like a werewolf. I think they got a werewolf down
I
there.
was gonna say, to me, it sounds a little more werewolf, but yeah, they were saying that all three of them are being like classified as possible hellhounds, but I don't know.
I mean, still not great. Not a fun time. Would not want to
Yeah.
be in the woods. But yeah, that sounds like a wolf or something. A werewolf, I mean. Okay. Well, I think this is our last story, or
Yeah.
maybe not. But I am going to cover something a little different than what we've been covering.
I know.
That in England, across the pond, there is a ghost ape.
I think this is awesome. I mean, just that there's an ape, I think is like very different and sweet, and I don't know. I
Right,
kind
but
of
like,
love it.
apes were not from England. Like, where did it come? Anyway, I'm getting into it.
Yeah, I think there's a story about that.
Yeah, there's a story. I just have questions. Okay, so this takes place at Athelhampton, which is
Yeah.
a manor home in Dorset, England. There are six human ghosts living at the house. It is just a fact that there are six ghosts at the house. But the seventh ghost is an ape. So,
Yeah, which is crazy.
we're gonna talk about the ape a little bit. Obviously he has kind of a sad story. But he was a member of the Martin family. And he made his way to England on a ship in possession of Sir William Martin. They had a really, really close bond as a family, but the ape had a stronger bond with one of his daughters.
Yeah.
It cared so deeply about the daughter that, she locked herself in a secret room with the intention of killing herself over a broken heart. The ape actually followed her,
Yeah.
which is so, so, so sad.
I know. He's trying to protect her, make sure she's okay.
I know. But the story has a few different versions, but the Athelhampton website says that the daughter changed her mind, and in others it says that she follows through with the plan. But what is really sad is that the ape never makes it out of the secret chamber. And so regardless, since there is no escape route or food supply, he ends up starving to death.
So sad.
So sad. That to me suggests maybe she did, take her own life. I'm not,
Yeah.
but you would think like if she did not, the ape would come out too, I would hope.
Yeah, I would think that she would bring him out if she came out of there. So, yeah, I
Right.
think she probably committed suicide and wasn't found right away.
Yeah. And really chillingly and just really sad, the ape is said to haunt the manor by scratching at the walls in an attempt to escape the confinement. And of course, like you would think, it's a ghost, like there's no problem, it'll just walk through the walls. And that is true. And so people have seen him swinging throughout the house as well, and people have seen him scratching at his privates.
Which I think we have all seen apes do.
They all do it. That is the thing that apes do for sure. But yeah, anyway, so that is the ghost ape, which I didn't even know existed until
Yeah.
research. But yeah, I don't know. I guess that's our flight.
Yeah. So it's a little bit more lighthearted this time because, like Alana said, there's some darker things coming, but. I don't know. I love stories of the ghost animals, and anytime we cover anything, whether it's the White House or the Stanley or whatever, and you hear about these animals that are just kind of hanging out still, I think it's awesome. And obviously, the sinister ones are a little bit more troublesome, and I don't want to meet them, but
Yeah, no,
I
totally.
love the idea that ghostly cats and dogs are hanging out and doing their best to like still be companions or hunt the mice or do whatever they do.
Yeah, totally. I agree. I think the ghost animals are fun. It's fun to hear about like cats that just like hang out in a hotel lobby and want to play or whatever.
Yeah.
So yeah. Anyway, thanks for sticking with us and listening to us, friends. If you like this episode, you could like, subscribe, rate us 5 stars wherever you get your podcasts. We do have a Instagram account you could follow, which is What the Ale Podcast. We also have a email account you could reach out to us if you want to like engage with us at all or give us topic ideas or just want to tell us what you think of our episodes, anything like that. Which is whattheelpod@gmail.com. And then we also have a Patreon page that you could subscribe to where we do bonus episodes. But outside of that, I just want to say I appreciate you, Mama.
I appreciate you too.
And we appreciate you, friends. Bye.
Bye bye.